So here we are on Brachos Lamed He Amud Bet. Last time we went through the beginning of the Gemara. This is the beginning of Perek Shishi, the sixth Perek, all about Brachot on food. And we're going to continue at the bottom over here. It actually is a callback to the last sugya that we did over there in terms of how we know that you have to make a bracha. Let me just give an outline over here. What I hope to do tonight is three different sugyot. Okay, the first sugya is the general idea. We're going to see three different sources for that a person should not get any hana'ah from this world without a bracha. Then on Lamed Hey Amud Bet, on the other side of the Amud, we're going to see, or the daf rather, we're going to see a famous Gemara, famous machloket between Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Shmuel about whether or not one is allowed to work, essentially, or whether you have to spend all your time learning. And then after that, we're going to learn the sugya of Bori Pi HaGefen, okay? Or Pergei HaGefen, whatever you want to say, the bracha on Yayin, okay? So I want to actually focus most of our time on that last sugya, but we can't learn the Gemara without talking about those first two subjects. So we'll try to go through it quickly, and Bezrat Hashem, we'll do it clearly, and we'll get a lot out of it, I hope. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan. This is a braita, okay? And I want to point that out. This is a braita. Asur lo la'adam she'aneh min olam hazeh bo'bracha. A person is not allowed to get hana'ah, enjoyment, pleasure from this world without making a bracha. V'kol ane'aneh min olam hazeh bo'bracha ma'al. And anybody who does, anybody who gets enjoyment, I hope here enjoyment is a stand-in for consuming food, okay? We're not talking about stam getting enjoyment like getting a good massage or going on a good roller coaster or anything like that. This is talking about food. So anybody who does consume something, eat food without making a bracha, it's like he's mo'el. What's mo'el? Rabbi, what's mo'el?
It's using something that belongs to the Beit HaMikdash.
Okay, good. So for example, if you have a shor, that, not shor, para, okay, that you were makdish to the Beit HaMikdash, so now it's the property of the Beit HaMikdash, you're not allowed to use it for anything else. You can't eat it, you can't use it to work, you can't sell it, you can't do anything. And if you do, that's called me'ilah. Okay? It's a very, very big isur. So if a person gets enjoyment from this world without making a bracha beforehand, it's as if he stole. Okay?
Excuse me, Rabbi. Isn't the word term me'ilah, doesn't mean sacrilegious?
That's kind of a colloquialism, I guess, on it. But okay. It literally means misappropriation of temple property.
I mean, there is a Gemara that. Okay.
Send There's it. A Masechet Me'ilah. It's all about this. It's exactly okay. What I just said. It's all about misusing things that belong to the Beit HaMikdash. Okay. So the Gemara says, well, okay, what can you do? Ma'ita kante. How do you fix eating food without making a bracha? The Gemara says, Yelech etzel chacham. What do you do? Go to a rabbi. Rabbis fix everything. Rabbi's going to give you a kiss. He's going to say everything is fine. The Gemara says, what? What good does it do to go to a rabbi? He did an isur, he did an aveira. You don't go to a rabbi, he's not a priest that you're going to confess to him and then, you know, he'll absolve you all of your sins. What's the rabbi going to do for you? No. Rabbi says, we didn't mean that you should go to the rabbi after you make a mistake. You go to the rabbi before you make the mistake, before you eat without making a bracha. So he teaches you hilchot brachot. Then when you know hilchot brachot, you'll say the proper bracha before eating. And then you won't come to me'ilah. Okay? So that's the first braita. Now, the Gemara goes on. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Kol ane'aneh min olam hazeh b'lo bracha. Kilu ne'aneh mikodshei shamayim. Shne'amar. Lashem. Okay, so first of all, this is...
Tell me where you are, please. I lost the place.
Oh, we're down here. I'm Rabbi Yehuda.
Okay.
Now, I want to point this out. I think this is critical. Who's speaking now?
Rabbi Yehuda.
Rabbi Yehuda is quoting Shmuel. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, Shmuel is an Amora or a Tana?
His girlfriend that they're supposed to go out on the Saturday night for the sushi.
Okay, David's here.
Shmuel, I think Shmuel was on the cusp of Amoraim and Tanaim. Is that correct?
Yeah, I guess he's a contemporary of Rav, but he's nevertheless definitely an Amora. Okay, and Rav Yehuda is definitely an Amora. Okay, and now the Breita is a Tanaic source or an Amoraic source?
Tanaic source,
for sure. A Tanaic source. Okay, now Shmuel comes along and he says, "Kol ane'aneh min olam hazeh b'lo bracha, Kilu nene mikotshe shamayim. Anybody who gets hana'a from this world without a bracha, it's like he got enjoyment from something that's kotshe shamayim. Now, what's the problem with getting hana'a from kotshe shamayim? It's a violation, right? You're not allowed to, like I said before, you're not allowed to get hana'a from something that's hektesh. Now, let's just continue for a second. So Shmuel says, how do we know this? Because he says there's a contradiction in Psukim. Shneimar l'Hashem ha'aretz lo'a. Rav Levi Rami, not to be confused with Rami Levi, Rav Levi Rami. Rav Levi points out a contradiction. It says, L'Hashem ha'aretz lo'a, uksiv ha'shamayim shamayim l'Hashem ha'aretz natan livnei adam. There's a contradiction here. In one pasuk, it says that the world, that the whole world and all that is in it belongs to Hashem. And then in the very next, and then another pasuk, it says, ha'shamayim shamayim l'Hashem ha'aretz natan livnei adam. Isn't ha'aretz part of lo'a? Isn't the Haaretz part of the universe? How can it belong to Bnei Adam? So how do we reconcile this contradiction? Look, Asha. Kan kodem bracha, kan la'achar bracha. When is it kodem bracha? Kodem bracha is Hashem, Hashem Haaretz Umlo'a. Everything in the universe belongs to Hashem. Then after bracha, then you have a situation of Hashem Haaretz Natan Lifnei Adam. That's when you have a situation that the Haaretz is given over to Bnei Adam. So you fix the problem of L'Hashem Ha'aretz Lo'a by making a bracha, and it brings it down to us. In other words, it sounds like Shmuel is saying it transfers from being Kodesh Shamayim to belong to us somehow. Maybe we're poded in some way, similar to what we do to Ma'aseh Sheni, but for one way or another, it gives us permission to eat the food. Okay? Now, Amar B'chanina Bar Papa. Okay, Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Amara or Tana? This is an Amora. Amar Rav Chanina bar Papa. Kol ha'ne'aneh milam rezeh b'lo bracha ki'ilu gozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu u'Knesset Yisrael. Shneimar gozel aviv v'imo v'omer in pesha chaveru l'ish mashchit. So let's just go step by step. Rav Chanina bar Papa says, anybody who gets enjoyment from this world without making a bracha first, it's like he steals from Hashem and from Knesset Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael is us. We're Knesset Yisrael. We're Bnei Yisrael. Okay? How do we know? Because it says, Gozel aviv, this is a pasuk in Mishlei. Gozel aviv v'imo v'omer in pesha chaver lishmashkin. Anybody who steals from his father and his mother and says I didn't do anything wrong, he is a friend to the destroyer. Okay, vein aviv elakadosh baruch hu. Aviv in the pasuk is Hashem. Shneimar halahu avicha konecha. Vein imo elakneset Yisrael. And imo in the pasuk is Knesset Yisrael. That's us. Shneimar shma bini musa avicha v'alti tosh torat imecha. My chaver, who lish mashchit, Amar Rav Chanina bar Papa, chaver li Yoav ben Avat, sheishchit et Yisrael avim shebashamayim. You're a chaver to Yoav ben Avat. What did Yoav ben Avat do? Yoav ben Avat was a big, big Rasha who caused Bnei Yisrael to do a lot of Averot, including a massive amount of Avodah Zarah. Okay. That's the first section of the sukkah. What question am I going to ask? You should be able to ask it now because I've led you on. What's my question? What's my major question going to be?
What's a nafkamina is what the difference is between whether it's me'ila or whether it's gezela.
Very good, right? You have three sources here, okay? You have a braita that says that it's me'ila, right? Then you have Shmuel coming along and say it's like your nen and ikotche shemayim. And then you have Rav Chanina bar Papa coming along and saying that it's like you're stealing from Hashem and Knesset Yisrael. Like, why do we need three sources for what essentially sounds like the same thing?
For the first two opinions sound very similar also. Kosh Shemayim as far as Me'ila, it's really the same.
That's pretty much the same thing, right? Me'ila and then the Kosh
Shemayim. Can I just add on? I mean, I was going to say that they're pretty much the same, but it seems like it's a much harsh thing than people like to think it is.
Are you saying that one of them is harsher than the other? Or are you saying
no? Both, since it's both things more or less together, right. It's an actually pretty harsh issue. It's not a bad thing.
You're saying
to do.
Maybe it's trying to emphasize how bad it is.
Exactly. It's like it's a day and day thing. People don't realize that it's if you don't do it, it's not good. I guess
that's possible. But are you saying that they're really all saying the same thing? All three of them are really saying the same thing. They're just emphasizing it or saying it in different words?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Is there a difference in the punishment between Gezela and Me'ila?
I mean, certainly,
if
you're gozel from a regular person, right, then
yes.
The punishment is that you have to give it back. And if you denied it, then you have to pay kefo, right? Me'ila is kind of funny because actually me'ila, if you do it b'mezid, there is no earthly punishment for it. It's a weird aveira. If you do me'ila on purpose, there's no earthly punishment. It's just kares. Only if you do it b'shogeg, only if you do it accidentally, then there's a punishment for it. Then there's a korban you have to pay, whatever. But that's an interesting quirk. But here it goes on the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's kind of hard to see what the difference might be. So let me tell you what I actually said at Ezra's Bar Mitzvah, okay? Because this really captured my imagination. I thought this was a fascinating issue, and you don't really find any Mefarshim, definitely not classic Mefarshim, even pointing this out. Rashi doesn't say a word. None of the Rishonim say anything about how interesting it is that you have three sources, one after another, very graphically saying the same thing. So I think it's interesting. If you were going to start trying to figure out, maybe to parse, maybe to tease these apart from each other, where would you start? Right, not like what Rashi said. Rashi says they're piling it on. Okay, fine. But if you were to tease these apart, where might you start? What would be the first thing that you would point out? So I would point out that, as I said before, there's a difference between these sources in terms of their timing. Right, the first is a braita, and the second and the third are both Amoraic. Okay, so I would say the Braita needs to stand alone. The Braita is official, okay? But I would suggest that perhaps Shmuel and Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa are perhaps trying to explain the Braita, and they're explaining it in two different ways. And over here, we need to have a classic Chakira in Me'ila and Hektesh. It's a very well-known Chakira that is basically asking the following question. I described before what Me'ila was. Me'ila is misappropriating or misusing something that belongs to the Beit HaMikdash, or essentially belongs to God. Question is, what's the problem when you do that? It's an Aveira, but what flavor of Aveira is it? What are the two possibilities? What do you think? What are the two possibilities of what kind of Aveira it is?
Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, Ben Adam L'Makom.
Okay, but explain what you mean by Ben Adam L'Chaveiro over here, Yechezkel. Because who's the Chaveiro?
Right, so if the Beit HaMikdash is for all of Am Yisrael, then, and in fact we used the terminology before, referencing the Am, so maybe it's Ben Adam L'Chaveiro.
Okay, interesting.
But the pshat would be that it would be Ben Adam L'Makom.
Okay, so I was going to go, Yechezkel, tell me if maybe this might fit into your theory. There's two possibilities. One is that it's a problem of Gezel and Choshen Mishpat. And the other is that it's a problem of Isur, of Yoredea. What do I mean? I mean that the problem with Me'ila could be that it's mamash like you're stealing from God. It's like you stole from God, like Ben Adam Chaveiro, except the Chaveiro is God. You stole something that belonged to him, and you're not allowed to use it. And the other possibility is that, no, you did something that was simply Asur, something that was off limits to you, and you touched it, similar to and no different from Chametz. Okay? Chametz on Pesach, if I eat Chametz on Pesach. Is that me stealing? Am I stealing from anybody? No, it's just asur to eat chametz on Pesach. So too, it's asur for me to touch or use the cow. Okay? So those are two different ways of looking at it, though. One is saying that it's stealing from Hashem, and the other is saying that, no, it's just it's a violation, just like any other isur. Now, what's the difference? So there are actually many nafkaminot. One classic nafkamina is the shi'ur. What's the quantity that you have to do of me'ila in order to be chayav? If it's a question of gezela, then what's the classic quantity for gezela?
Shaveh pruta.
And if it's a question of yoredeya, of isur, then what's the classic quantity of yoredeya, of isur?
Mashu.
I would have said kezayit, but maybe it could be mashu. You know, it depends, I guess,
how bad. Pesach. We use Pesach as an example.
You're right.
So that's what
you're right. Pesach as an example. I guess you could kind of go in between those two. That's a good point. But it's definitely not a shaveh pruta. It's definitely not a Shaveh Pruta. And so depending on which side of the machloket that you take, that's one of the nafkamina. There are many others. I would suggest over here that Shmuel and Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa are taking two opposing sides of this chakira with regards to Me'ila. Okay? Shmuel says it's like your ne ne mikodshe shamayim. What side is that?
Isur.
It's like chametz. You're not allowed to be ne ne from chametz. You're not allowed to be nana from it. And if you do, then you violated something. You did an isur. What about Rabbi Chanina bar Papa? He told you. What's the problem according to Rabbi Chanina bar Papa? It's Gezela. He says it's Gezela. He says it right away. So I would suggest that they're pointing out two different possible problems with regards to eating food without making a bracha. One is the food belongs to God. It belongs to God, and therefore you can't have it. And the other is, no, the food is kadosh. It's kadosh, and you can't touch it until you make a bracha. Only once you make a bracha, then the isur falls away. But as long as it's kadosh, you can't touch it. You're not allowed to eat from it. And perhaps those are the two sides of the question of what a bracha is supposed to do. And it may even fit into the chakira of whether a bracha is a matir or a mitzvah. No, I don't want to get into that right now. Just one extra point that I wanted to point out that I'm not sure if this factors in or not. Rashi, when it says Gozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay? When it says Gozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do you think that means? If you were to say you stole from God, what did you steal? I wanted to
throw in something here. I mean, one of the things that I don't understand why wasn't mentioned is that how come there's no apikoros thing involved? Because if you're it's kind of like denying God. You know, the really one of the reasons why we do say brachot is we know and we have to appreciate that it comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is sustaining us. And so without saying a bracha, it's not having that on your mind. It's not being cognizant, I guess, of that. And I guess, you know, I don't mean to go on a tangent, but at the same time, if they're talking about Gezela and they're talking about, you know, saying it's Kaddish and not Kaddish, how come it can't be also considered a part, you know, if you do it, it's kind of like apikarsis.
Wouldn't you say that about any Ben Adam the Makom? Couldn't you say the same thing?
I guess so. I mean... But in this case, I mean, like, you know, it's denying, it's not recognizing that it comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that is an issue.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're getting more specific than that. Rashi, I hear your point. And on a general level, and like Yechezko says, anytime you violate the Torah, you're denying Hashem. But Rashi is pointing out that here specifically, where you're using something that belongs to him without acknowledging him, then that's also denial. I hear that. The Gemara definitely does not choose to go that way. It doesn't seem to be pointing that out over here. But I want to get to this point because I also want to move on. If you were to guess, when the Torah, when the Gemara says, Gozel Me'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you stealing? What's the most obvious thing that you're stealing from him?
The physical item?
The physical item. That's what I would have guessed also.
Right, but that doesn't sound, you know, I think at second glance, I don't think that really sounds very reasonable.
Well, I mean, it's certainly in line. We said, you know, everything belongs to Hashem. So by taking it without his permission, so then it is kind of like stealing the object. I think it certainly is in line with what we said. Obviously, there's a lot more philosophy to work out over there, but I think it's in line. Like everything belongs to Hashem. Koneh olam.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that it was so easy to say that, and yet Rashi on the daf goes against that. Gozel LaKadosh Baruch Hu et Birchato. See right here at the top? Why does he say that? It would have been so easy to just stay silent, first of all. Everybody understood the Gemara. We all knew that the Gemara meant that you're stealing the fruit from Hashem. Why does Rashi have to jump in and say, et Birchato? You're stealing his bracha. What's he doing? So here... I think it's useful to look at the Nitziv. The Nitziv actually has two comments. We don't have to look at it.
We know that the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants our tefillot, and so he also wants our brachot. He has no interest in the physical objects.
Good, good. So there's two-step process here. First of all, 100% what Pinchas says. The Nitziv says, "Kol ha'ne'enem yon zarab elo bracha ha'reza goz al Kadosh Baruch Hu knesset Yisrael, hatam bazed bebrachot ha'ne'enim noten shefa bracha b'min ha'ne'echal." Okay, now here, the Nitziv goes to the next step. Here, let me ask this question. Pinchas, fine. I'm Gozel from Hashem, the Bracha, right? What does the Gemara mean when it says, I'm also Gozel from Knesset Yisrael? What does that mean? I'm stealing from the rest of Bnei Yisrael? How? I ate an apple without making a Bracha. How am I stealing from Bnei Yisrael? What does that mean? So the Nitziv says, you have to understand what the Bracha is supposed to do. The purpose of the bracha is to bring shefa into the world. When you make a bracha, it's not stam thanking Hashem. You're saying Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Shehakol Nihya Bidvaro. And when you do that, you bring the light of Hashem into the world. You bring an influx of that energy. Okay? And that's what Hashem wants you to do. By eating without making the bracha, Hamoneh Amizeh, Hareza Gozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Harotzeh Lashpia. You're first of all stealing from God the opportunity to bring his influx into the world. Ukneset Yisrael HaTzrichim L'kach. And at the same time, you're also stealing from everybody else that Shefa that was supposed to come into the world. So you're stealing both from Hashem and from Klal Yisrael. Now, what does it mean you're stealing from Hashem? It means that, and we talked about this last week, it means that Hashem wanted, that was his purpose. He wanted to bring that Shefa into the world. In fact, as we saw in the Ritva last week, that's why he made the apple to begin with. He made the apple so that you would make the bracha. And he made you hungry for the apple so that you would want to eat the apple and then make the bracha. By eating the apple without making the bracha, what did you do? You basically misappropriated the apple, by the way, and divested it of its true purpose, which was to bring the bracha into the world, and robbed Hashem of the opportunity to bring Shefa into the world. That's what you did. And so that's how we read the whole thing. Okay. One other aspect of this sugya, at the beginning over there, we talked about what does it mean to go to a rabbi? What good is it to go to a rabbi? So the Gemara says, okay, go to a rabbi and fix it. So the Gemara says, what's the rabbi going to do? And what was the answer? The answer was, the rabbi will tell you what bracha to make before you eat the food. Okay? So Rabbi Yonah comments over here, and he says, well, let me ask you a question. What do you do if you don't know what bracha to make on the food? What do you do if you don't know what bracha to make on the food?
You can just assume it's shehakol, and it's correct.
Good. I so mean, actually, you say just make a shehakol, right?
So what's your video? Technically, you can make a shehakol on wine or on bread.
Okay.
I mean, it's so not the exact thing, but it's not wrong.
Okay, so if you're ever in a bind, you don't know what bracha to make, you just make a shehakol. So Rabbi Yona says, "Mishenu yadel brachot beizin yan yochal lechol shem yochal yitchayev korban mila b'kol pam opam amajin sheilech etzal abaki vilandenu brachot huwa din shafilu im lo yada ela brachat shehakol yatsa b'ide mila. If you don't know what bracha to make, at the very least, make a shehakol, and that way, at the very least, you're not violating mila. You didn't do the best thing." But at least you said shahakol, you avoided the problem of mi'ila. Bal kulam imar shahakol, yatsa, ela, shetzarich l'mod kedei sheyivarech ha-bracha ruya l'kol davar. The right thing to do is to learn the proper bracha. Now, is that the simplest way to read the Gemara?
If the Netziv says that I'm avoiding mi'ila, it implies that I'm not avoiding the problem of gezela.
This is Rabbeinu Yonah. I don't want to shove my vort into everybody else. Okay, Rabbi Yonah is just looking at the Gemara in general and saying, which by the way, he's commenting on the first section. He's commenting on the first section where it was taught, was talking about going to a rabbi. So he's saying you can avoid the milah by making a shahakol. You divest the bracha of the problem. You divest the food of the problem of eating without making a bracha. Okay, now. Is that the simplest way to read the Gemara? Because when you look at the Gemara, right? The Gemara says it's Me'ila. So what do? You go to a rabbi, and then they say, what is that going to do? So Rava says, go to a rabbi to begin with. He'll teach you brachot so that you don't do Me'ila. Now, what does he mean by he'll teach you brachot? What does he mean he'll teach you brachot?
He'll teach you what bracha to say.
So the problem here is that you don't know which bracha to say?
No, I think he'll teach you that you should say a bracha.
Ah, because if you don't say that, Rabbi, right? If you don't say that, Rabbi, it's hard to read the Gemara. Because if it's just a matter of teaching me which bracha to say, then isn't Rabbi Yonah right? I could just say a shahakol, and then It shouldn't be Me'ila. But the thing is, it's hard to read the Gemara now, according to Rabbi Yonah, because Rabbi Yonah seems to be saying, oh, the rabbi is just going to tell you which bracha to make. It seems more likely that the rabbi is going to tell you make brachot. Okay? All right, let's just keep that in mind. So the Shulchan Aruch actually comments on this, the Ramah, really. He says, Kol ha-peyot she'odeh behem shehem ikar ha-pri. Anytime you know that for sure the food that you're eating is pri, then you say a bracha. And if it's not ikara pri, meaning it's a different part of the fruit that's not a part that's usually eaten for the fruit, then you make a brepi hadama, because it's still coming from the ground, but it's not the pri. V'imu misupak. What happens if you're not sure? So this is a classic case. You're not sure if this part of the food that you're eating is pri or not pri. So what bracha do you make?
Brepi hadama.
Brepi hadama. Why?
Because the pre comes from the adama ultimately.
Because we have a hierarchy, right? You have the shahakal, which is the ultimate catch-all. Then you have brei pri hadama, which covers anything that comes from the ground, but doesn't cover anything that doesn't come from the ground, of course. And then you have brei pri ha'etz, which covers anything that comes from a tree, but includes, of course, everything that comes from the ground, right? Well, I should say brei pri hadama includes everything that comes from the ground and everything that comes from an eitz. So you're for sure okay if you make a brei pri hadama. If you don't know what it is at all, then you say a shahakol, because a shahakol, like Rashi pointed out before, is a catch-all. Here's the thing. Magen Avraham says, Hainu achar shalamad. Aba misha lo lamad. Dun, dun, dun. Lo yochal. Misha lo lamad lo yachal. Right? If you didn't learn at all, if you didn't even make an attempt, then you shouldn't be eating it. Shahakol is not your get out of jail free card. Shahakol is your bidiyavad when you simply cannot figure out what to do because you tried and tried and tried. You looked on every single website you could find, and this one says shahakol, and this one says bray nefasha, or whatever, that doesn't make any sense. This one says shahakol, and this one says bray pre'adam, and this one says bray pre'aitz. And you don't know what to do. So you make the basic bracha because you're misupak. But if you simply are looking at a piece of food and you have no idea and you can't be bothered to look it up, then what should you do? Sorry, you can't eat. You cannot eat until you go and find out what the bracha is. Shahakol is not your get out of jail free card. This is basically muskam amongst all achronim. You can't simply make a shahakol when you're not sure. People don't know this. This is not the minhag olam, I would say. The minhag olam is that people say shahakol when they don't know, but it's not right. You don't say shahakol when you don't know. You only say shahakol when you know that you don't know. Okay? Now, there's a fascinating mitziv over here on our Gemara, which takes a different approach. The mitziv, this is a very surprising approach. Nobody says what the mitziv says. He says, kashali. What's the Gemara talking about? Go to a rabbi and find out what to do. You should always go to a rabbi and find out what to do if you don't know what to do. What kind of a point is this? What does it mean? It means that the fix is... Lo neima takanta shelo yocha bli bracha im eino yedeh ech levarich ela yocha mikol makom ve'eino ela shogeg. What does that mean? So we keep going. He says, "Dezel lashon ma'al shunena min hekdesh b'shogeg ve'eino domel meizid b'masha ochel ela rashai lechol ve'eino domel ela l'shogeg b'masha eino yedeh ech levarich shumachi ein takana ela l'mor ech levarich." What should you do? He says, the fact is, if you don't know what to do over here, what should you do? Amazingly, he says,
you could still eat.
You eat without a bracha. You don't know a bracha to make? Okay. That's it. You're a shogeg. There's nothing to do about it. The hadith of Yerushalmi, but look at the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, for sure not. Misho misupak ech labarech leocha. This is the basis for the Ma'ariv Magen Avraham. The Yerushalmi says, if you don't know what to do, don't eat. So the Mitziv says, no. Hainu b'safik bracha achrona d'minat Torah. That's if you don't know what bracha to make at the end, then you shouldn't eat, because that's minat Torah. You don't mess around with Birkat HaMazon. But if you know for sure that you're going to make a bracha achrona, then there's no problem. You don't make a bracha rishona. But you shouldn't say the wrong bracha. That's his point. Okay, I don't have to get into all this. But basically, the Nativ amazingly says that you eat without a bracha in this situation. Nobody says this. Nobody agrees with
this. Does this imply, when he says it's better not to make the wrong bracha, does this imply that if I make a shahakol to assume that that's the all-inclusive bracha, that that could be the wrong bracha?
No, he's just saying you don't have to. You don't have to get it. You don't have to guess. Of course you could, I guess. Okay, now what comes out of this halacha l'maaseh, though, is that it's while it's true that b'diavad, anyone who makes a shahakol b'diavad for sure is good. Everybody agrees with that. B'diavad, for sure, you're fine. You don't have to make another bracha. Number two, you should not be making a shahakol stam. You don't know what bracha this is. All right, we'll make a shahakol. No, you should find out. Nowadays, it's relatively easy to find out. However, if you make the attempt to find out and you still don't know, then the proper thing to do is to make the more basic bracha. Okay? All right. Now, we're going to hopefully get back to this later on in a different sugya. But now we have to get back to our Gemara.
Guys, we're going to ask a question.
Yeah.
Surely the nusach of the bracha is important but secondary, and the ikar here is to understand that what you're taking belongs to Hashem before you acknowledge that it's His, right? So if you don't know what bracha to make, rather than making no bracha, say, yeah, thank you God very much for this lovely apple, or whatever.
Just in English, yeah. In English.
Acknowledge, and then...
Right. Well, we pointed out last week, 2 weeks ago, rather, that if you say anything that acknowledges Hashem, technically speaking, that is, according to the Rashba, let's say, that fulfills your obligation, because the matbea shel bracha is enacted by the rabbis. So, you know, you can fulfill your obligation. In fact, Rabbi Neuberger suggested that's something that a person who cannot make a bracha, for whatever reason, it's something that they can do. They can just acknowledge that Hashem created the food and then eat it. But it is important to get the right bracha, as we're going to see.
But then why would the Netziv say rather don't say anything?
Because he says you're in a state of shogeg where you don't have to worry about it, really. It's a good question. That's why I don't think anybody agrees with him. Everybody says, why? Why wouldn't you say a bracha?
Because if you go back to the original model, either Mi'ila or Gezel, the Shogeg is still Mi'ila or Gezel. It's not nothing.
No, it's not nothing. Okay. Next section. This is really famous, but not germane to what we're going to be talking about the rest of the time. So I want to go through it, make some points, and then move on. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. Okay, this is the same Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. Most likely, this is the reason why it's being brought up. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, Rami, he brought a contradiction between two psukim, right? That's what Rami means.
Ktiv, where is this?
Okay. Right here. I'm
got it. Okay.
He brings a contradiction between two psukim. One pasuk says, "V'lakachti digani be'ito," I took my dagan in its time. Who's talking here? That's Hashem, right? It's a pasuk in Hosea. Okay, Hashem is saying, I'm taking my dagan. And then another pasuk it says, Vasafta diganecha. So whose dagan is it?
Yours.
It's ours.
Mine.
So whose grain? Whose grain is it? Is it Hashem's grain or is it our grain? What's the answer?
Both.
It depends. Kan bizman she Yisrael osinu tono shel makom. When we're keeping the Torah and mitzvos, so then it's our dagan, as it says in the pasuk, "Vasafta deganecha." What comes right before "Vasafta deganecha"?
Ve'echalta v'savata.
After. "Vasafta Hashem lekecha b'chol v'avchol." No, well, after "Vasafta," it's "Vayayim shama." Vayayim shama d'shmol mitzvotai asher anachim mitzavei etchem hayom. Right, and you continue "Vasafta deganecha." So that's when we're being good boys and girls. But degani b'ito, that's a pasuk in Hosea, that's when we're not being so good. Fine. But this is a springboard for a massive machlokes. Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, there's a braita that says, Vasafta deganecha, matamodomar. What is it telling us? Lefishan emar lo yamush sefer ha-Torah zami picha. Since the pasuk in Yehoshua says that you're not allowed to let the words of Torah leave our mouths, you might think we should take this, as the kids say, literally, right? We should take this literally. Talmud Lomar, Vasafta deganecha, Haneg Bahen, Minhag Derech Eretz, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. You might think that you literally have to always be talking about Torah, always be learning Torah. Kamash Malan, the Torah says, Vasafta deganecha, that sometimes you have to harvest and eat and work and thresh, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, whoever says, Evsha Adam Choresh Beshat Harisha, Vizareh Beshat Zriya, Vekotzer Beshat Ketzira, Vedash Beshat Disha, Vizor Beshat Ruach, Torah, Matahela. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, what are you talking about? People are going to be, it's never a time when you don't have to work. You're going to be working the land all the time, whether it's harvesting, whether it's planting, whether it's winnowing, whatever it is that you have to do, there's always something to do. And if you're always working, then Torah Matahela, when is there going to be time for learning? It says, Chas v'shalom. Rather, Ela Bizman, she saw Otsim Son Shalmako Malachta Nasait Aideachem, Shemar Vamdu Zarim Vrautanachem. When Bnei Yisrael are doing Torah mitzvos, then what's going to happen? Our work is going to be done by others. We won't have to do any work. Everybody else is going to do our work for us. But Bizman Shein Yisrael Otsim Son Shalmakon Malachta Nasait Aide Atzman, Shemar Vasaftadeganecha. But when we're not doing Torah mitzvos, then we're going to have to do it ourselves. So the pasuk of Vasafta Danecha is talking about when we're not being good. Not only do we have to work for ourselves, but we're going to have to work for others. As the pasuk says, etc. Machlokes bin Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shmuel says, Vasafta Danecha tells you that you have to take time off from learning Torah in order to work. And Heg Bahen Minag Der Charetz, the way of the world. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, no way, Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Chalila, you have to be learning all the time. Because if you take time off for work, Torah Matahela, and if you properly learn all the time, then your work will be done by others. So how do we paskin? Well, the Gemara doesn't say how we paskin, but it does say as follows. Amar Abaye, harbe asu k'Rabbi Shmuel, ve'alta bi'adan. K'Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, ve'lo alta bi'adan. Abaye makes a sociological statement. He says, many people tried to do like Rabbi Shmuel, and it worked. And heg mehen minag derech eretz is a successful process. Many tried to do like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and it didn't work for them. Only Torah, Rak Torah, didn't work. Okay. But did anybody actually paskin on this? Amalei Rava le Rabbanan, Rava said, "Bimtucha minayichu biyom Nisan biyom Tishrei lo titchazu kamai." That when it's your yom Nisan and yom Tishrei, meaning during the tkufot of Nisan and Tishrei of planting and harvesting, I don't want to see you in the Beit Midrash. Kehech delot shichudu b'mizunayichu kula shata. Because if I see you in the Beit Midrash, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have no way of making a living. You're not going to have any food. And what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to go around begging all the time. And you're always going to be stressed. And you're not going to be able to have Yishuv Adas. Better that you should work when it's time to work and learn when it's time to learn. That's what Rava says. Okay. Very good. Without jumping 2,000 years into the future and getting into politics, let's just make a few points that we find in the Achronim. Number one. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Acharkach after davening, basically after davening and a little bit of learning, acharkach yelech leiskaf to call Torah sheini ma'malacha sofa b'teila v'gares afa." Mishnah in Perkei Avos that any time you have only Torah that has no malacha along with it, it will lead to sin. Ki ha'oni ya'avirenu al da'at kono, because poverty is going to cause you to rebel against Hashem. U'mikol makom lo yaseh malachto ikar ela arai. However, you should always make your malacha the temporary, the secondary part of your life. And the Torah should be the kavua part of your life. Jumps in the Chafetz Chaim, Bir Halacha, and he takes a parting shot. He says, Katvas Faim Shizeu Shinamar Lechla Laolam, Shein Kulam Yicholim Liskot Alod Madrega Ramazu Liot Iskam Rak Patrol of Ada, Avalanashim Yechidim. He says, it's true that the general way of the world is like what the Shulchan Aruch is saying, that a person needs to work along with his learning. However, there are yechidim, there are single people, individuals that you can find that can succeed with this. And he says, this is what the Gemara means. The Gemara says, harbe asuk rashbi, v'lo al tabiyadan, v'tzon lomar, dafka harbe. The problem was that many tried to do l'rashbi. Too many. The yechidim, the people who can do it, the individuals who are supposed to do it, Hashem will help them and find them parnasa. And this is what the Rambam means when he says in Perek Yud Gimel, "Shemitim v'yovlot v'lo shevet Levi b'vara." I didn't bring the Rambam. The Rambam says that Shevet Levi is meant to be set aside. That's why they get Chumas and Maisros and everything, so that they can sit and learn and serve the Beit Mikdash and serve the Jewish people, and they don't have to work. And the Rambam says explicitly, he says, and if you want to be part of Shevet Levi, you can. Anybody who's willing to put their material welfare, their financial welfare, up for chance, and say, I don't care whether I have money or I don't have money, and I don't care if my family is going to starve or going to survive or whatever, that's your prerogative. You're allowed to do that. That's what the Rambam says. Ubefrat, he continues, im kvar nimtzu anashim shorotzim laspik lo tzarchav kedei sheyasot patara bavada lo shayach ze yisachar v'zvulun yochiach. And he says, and if people want to support them, all the better. That's great. If there are people who want to support them, then that's fine. So that's how the Chafetz Chaim says it. One last comment about this before we move on. Anytime we bring up the sugya, you have to quote the Chatam Sofer over here. Okay? If you haven't heard this Chatam Sofer, prepare yourself. All right? Everybody has their seatbelts on? Who's here? Who's here? Ilan, you have your seatbelt on?
On.
Make sure. Okay, good. Good, good, good. All right, here we go. Random Gemara. All right, out of left field. That's a baseball metaphor, guys. The Gemara in Sukkah says, Amar Mar, Etrog Kushi Pasul. Who saw this coming? Anybody? Nobody saw this coming. Black Etrog on Sukkot is Pasul. Can't use a black Etrog. Vatanyo Kushi Kasher. Dom le Kushi Pasul. The Gemara quotes this strange Braita. It says, but we have a Braita that says that a black Etrog is Pasul, is Kasher rather, but a Etrog that is like black, it's black-ish, then it's Pasul. I don't understand. Our statement, our Amora said, Etrog Kushi Pasul, and then the Braita says, Etrog Kushi Kasher. So which one is it? Amar Abaye, Kitnanami Matnitin, Dome Lekushitan. They're both talking about Dome. The Braita, which mentions that a Dome Lekushi is Pasul, that's what the Amorai meant when they said, Etrog Kushi Pasul. Fine, no problem. Then Rava jumps in and says a strange comment. Rava Amar, Lokasha. No, there's no problem. Halan, v'halahu. Now, who knows? In Shas, when you see this phrase, halan, v'halahu, what does it mean, usually? That's for us and that's for them. What does that mean, usually? Who's the us and them?
Purushim and Sedukim?
No.
Okay, I'll make it plain. Jews and Goyim?
No. All Jews. We're all Jews here.
Eretz Yisrael and Bavel?
That's right, David. Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. Halan v'halahu, almost always. I don't know of any case where it doesn't mean that's for us in Eretz Yisrael and that's for them in Bavel, or vice versa, rather. That's what it means. In other words, they have their minhag and we have our minhag. Okay? Now, why am I bringing this Gemara? Because the Chatam Sofer brings this Gemara in the context of our Gemara. Take a look. He says, Shemati Mori v'Rebbe Afla Zatzal. So Pinchas Haritz is Rebbe. Behind the Pligi Rashbi v'Rebbe Shmal. Okay, that's our Gemara over here. This Machokas between Rabbi Shon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Shmal in the Gemara in Brachos. And they say, Harba Asuk Rashbi v'lo al tabi Adam. Ze Sha'asu Karashbi v'lo Karashbi Mamash Devade Mishka Vanatol Hashem Hashem Habochim Hashematov Yodeh Shnatav Vavade Yala B'Yadom. He says, you know what? Anybody who really, really, really is trying to be like Rishon Bar Yochai is really just trying to learn all the time, for sure they're going to be okay. You know what the problem was? Hem asu kirashbi. Har be'asu, what does it say? Har be'asu kirashbi. And there's a big difference between rashbi and kirashbi. Nidmu lo v'lo be'etzem tochniyutam. Al korchach lo al tabiyada. V'amar haynu damri hacha. That's what the Gemara means over here. Etrog akushi haynu hatzadik. Hamishuneh b'masav. The tzaddik who's really, really different. Kikushi hamishuneh b'oro. Who kasher? A person who's really, really different, like someone who's really, really a totally different person, that's kasher. But somebody who's just trying to be like Rashbi, ze pasul. That's going to be pasul. Ki lo alta biyado. Okay, in divrei Rav. Okay, fine. Bikan ve'elech, tosefet divrei tamido, hapa'ut, kamoni. Now the Chatam Sofer says, that's what my Rebbe said. But now, I want to tell you what I think. Okay, so now we're going to see what the Chatam Sofer here calls himself the small one. Okay, tamido hapa'ut. He says, you know what I think they're really arguing about? Rabbi Shmuel Nami Lomar Mikro Vasafta Daganecha. You guys didn't point out the problem. What's the big problem with Rishon Bar Yochai's Shita? How come nobody said it? It's as if Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai doesn't say Shema every single day. Let's look at his what he said again. He said that when the Torah says, Vasafta Daganecha, that's the case where Ein Yisrael Asin Ritzon Hashem Makom. What's the problem with that? We said it before.
Because we should be doing
it's following Vayayim Shamoa. How can you say that? Which is what Tosfos brings up. We'll look at Tosfos in a second, maybe. So the Chatam Sofer says over here, says, when the Pasuk says, Vasafta Deganecha, when is that? Be'eretz Yisrael, Verov Yisrael Shuyin, Shavodah Bakarka Gufa, Mitzvah Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael.
Wow.
Ulohotzi perotea akadoshim. Valze tzivta hatara vasafta deganecha. Vasafta deganecha is talking about an Eretz Yisrael, which is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to work the land of Eretz Yisrael and to get the perot out of the land of Eretz Yisrael and to make the country flower. Uboaz zoragore and asore malayla mishum mitzvah. It's as if you want to say, I'm not going to work. I'm not going to work. I'm only going to learn Torah. That's like saying, I'm not going to put a tefillin. I'm only going to learn Torah. You can't say that. You can't say, I'm not going to do a safta deganecha because of Torah. It's a mitzvah. And he says, and by the way, don't think I'm only talking about being a farmer. Anything you do in Eretz Yisrael, Sheish Behem Mishum Yishuv HaOlam, HaKol Bichlal Mitzvah. Everything is considered a mitzvah as long as you're doing it for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Aval. Where was the Chatam Sofer living? Pressburg, Austria. Kshanu Fuzarim, Babonetin Rabbim, Minu Mit HaOlam. V'chol Shemar BeOlam Yishuv. Everybody else, they'll do the work. Mosif avodat Hashem churban. Moder Rabbi Shmuel the Rashbi. There Rabbi Shmuel would agree. In other words, the Chatam Sofer doesn't think Rashbi and Rabbi Shmuel are arguing. Valzan usomchan Rabbi Nauraid matnit in sof kedushin meniach ani kolam niyot shabalam veini melamid bni yala Torah haynu b'chutz laretz. V'chanal v'haynu demechadesh Rava be'etrog akushi afilu einu nidma. This is what Rava is saying. When Rava says Be'etrog Hakushi Afilo Einu Nidma Ela Kushi Mamish Tahinu Rashbi V'Chareiv Ha'Amitiyim Mikol Makom Halan Halalu Lebnei Bavel Kasher Lebnei Eretz Yisrael Pasul Tebeinan Yishuv Eretz Yisrael Al Yidei Yisrael. Says here in Eretz Yisrael, you want to act like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you better be Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. In Chutzlaretz, you can be like Rashbi. But in Eretz Yisrael, you got to be like Rashbi, because you got to be exactly Rashbi, because if you're anything less, then you should be working. You should be doing Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. You can't claim that you're learning Torah, and therefore you don't have to.
That means perhaps we should be living in a cave for years, right?
Ah, Rishon Bar Yochai in the cave, that's another aspect of the sugya that Rabbi Lam writes about in his book Torah Mada. He thinks that this Gemara is before Rishon Bar Yochai got out of his cave.
Oh. Now, another question, as long as we're on this very Chatam Sofer here. Isn't there a klal ha'osek be'mitzvah patur me'mitzvah? So
yeah,
therefore,
but,
if you say
that doesn't learning... cover you for putting on your tefillin in the morning. You can't say I'm learning Torah, therefore you don't have to put on tefillin in the morning any more than you could say I'm learning Torah, therefore I don't have to stop for Kriyat Shema, right? We know that from the Haggadah.
Uh-huh.
You can't just say I'm not going to do mitzvahs because I'm learning Torah. No, can't do that.
This is brilliant because it explains why the Gemara is so asymmetric, right? The Gemara is really bothersome because when it spoke about the fruit, it said before it's kashas, it's not kashas. Well, here's before bracha and one's after bracha. You'd expect the symmetry of the daganecha and dagani to be something similar, like, I don't know, before truma or after truma, before orla or after orla, something halachic technical. And then it goes on this whole long tangent about, like it goes on, can only be because it's referring to inside Israel and outside of Israel. So it fits very well.
Right. Yeah, so this is a collector's item, Chatam Sofer. This is where the Chatam Sofer reveals his Zionism, as they point out. Right? This puts to the lie any claim that, you know what, learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael is exempts you from any obligation to work or defend the land. Chatam Sofer says, no, it's every part of it is a mitzvah. Just like you're willing to put on tefillin in the morning and be vata a few minutes if you're learning Torah, so you should be willing to do that. That's what Chatam Sofer is saying. And he goes out of his way to say, I'm not only talking about farming, I'm talking about anything.
So that means even if you're a teacher or if you're a programmer or something like that?
100%.
Okay.
Kol Shekin v'Kol Shekin for a programmer. There's no greater mitzvah.
Okay.
So, okay. Now we finally get on to the main event. I have a feeling that I've painted myself into a corner here. Okay, let's go. Let's go. Everybody wake up and we get on to the last part. Amar Rabba Bar Chana. Now back to classic halakha. Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. Bo Ure. Oh, you know what? We're not there yet. Okay, let's jump through this. Let's run through this. Bo Reish Shaloka Dos Harishonim Dos Achronim Dos Harishonim Asit Toras and Keva Umlachtan Arai Zubazuni Tkamim Biyadim. So Rabbi Rachana says that, you know what, the earlier generations, they were able to accomplish everything because they made their malacha arai and the Torah was keva, and so they had both. They had both Torah and malacha. But our generations, we've done the opposite and we don't get either one. We don't succeed in malacha, we don't succeed in Torah. He continues. Another difference between the earlier generations and the latter generations. I know I'm running through this because I wanted to get to the next section. The earlier generation, the earlier Dorot, they used to purposely bring their perot through the threshold so that they would make sure that it would be chayv and maaser because they wanted to take the opportunity to do a mitzvah. But what did the Dorot Acharonim do? We find loopholes. We find halachic loopholes by taking our fruits across the roofs and through Chatzerot so that we don't have to take chumas and maisers from them. We try to get out of doing mitzvahs. They jumped into mitzvahs. We get out of doing mitzvahs. Okay. Fine. I don't want to get into that. I want to get to the next section. Chutz min hayayin. Okay. So to remind you, the Mishnah says that the bracha for fruit, peirot ha'ilan, is for
prayers.
Chutz min ayayin. Shal yayin u'amor berpi ha'gefer. Except for wine, which of course comes from grapes, which are certainly peirot ha'ilan, but wine is borei pri ha'gefer. Maishna yayin, where it says, why is wine any different? So the Gemara first suggests, it has a few different answers. The first suggestion is, so you'll say the reason why wine is different is because when we change the grapes in a fundamental way and elevate them by making them into wine, which is indisputably better than just plain grapes, we change the bracha. Which is not the case for any other fruits, oranges or any other fruit, it doesn't actually gain in value or quality.
Only excuse me, Rabbi.
But yeah,
with fruit juice, you do say shahakol. You don't say bray prayates.
That's true. We talked about that last time. Why we don't say bray prayates? We're going to save that for a different share, though. Thanks for bringing it up, Rashi. But
olive oil, you say shahakol. So
ayafeh. There we go. Now you're on the right track. the Gemara says, wait a second, wait a second, wait a second. Ahare shemen, di shtani lula velo ishtani lebracha. But wait a second, shemen, which is coming from zeitim, right? We also change that from regular olives to olive oil. And for sure, olive oil is better than regular olives. And yet we don't see that it gets a special designated bracha the way that wine does. Why is that?
Excuse me. Also, yes. I mean, just to throw in, I mean, like, speaking about elevating it or putting it on a pedestal, olive oil was used heavily in the Beit HaMikdash with the menorah and with 100%. Many different other things.
Yes, but we don't need that.
Wine, but yeah, more yeah. so than wine. Wine definitely was. A lot of people, you know, there's a lot of halachot pertaining to wine. You know, being a proud wine drinker, I never understood, you know, the halachot pertaining to it. But one thing for sure, you can ascertain that, you know, olive oil has maintained a certain level of kedusha.
It has, but there's one problem with olive oil. You know what the problem is?
Popeye. I don't know what.
You can't drink it.
Three glasses of olive oil, two glasses of wine, and tell us which one you feel better off with.
No, but I put olive oil on my salad.
Okay, that's very nice, but still not the same thing as drinking it, right?
No,
which is the problem. The Gemara points out, very shemed ishtani liyulia velo ishtani lebracha. Shemen has been enhanced when you take zeitim and turn it into shemen, and yet it doesn't get its own special bracha. If you do happen to consume shemen zeit somehow, the bracha on is borei pri haetz. Now we're going to get back to when you might say borei pri haetz on shemen. We're not going to talk about that tonight. We'll get back to that probably next time. But the Gemara seems to assume for now that if you were to take a swig of shemen zayit, the bracha you would make would be borei pri haetz. So the Gemara says, well, actually, there's kind of a technical reason why it doesn't get its own bracha. You know what it is? Amri hada mishum delo efshar. The reason why shemen zayit doesn't get its own bracha is because what bracha would you make? How would you change the bracha? Hechi navrich, nivrich borei pri hazayit? What would you say? Borei pri hazayit? Pira gufe zayit ikri. V'nimbrachale borei. What are you going to say? You're going to say borei pri hazayit. But it's a zayit. What do you mean? It is itself a zayit. The zayit is the pri. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I throw something else in? Like, okay, you're saying borei pri. I mean, like, again, can I throw in so what? So what? The thing is, it's a matter of why you say, you know, not just why you're saying the bracha, you're saying the bracha, it's like brachat ha'ne'anan. Who would like to drink olive oil? Nobody. It would taste horrible.
Well, again, you're right. That's
people
a separate
like drinking wine. It's a good thing, you know?
Of course. But here we're trying to figure out, in theory, let's say we were to make a bracha on drinking shemen zayit. So what bracha would we make? The Gemara says we make a borei pri haetz. So the Gemara says, well, why do we make a borei pri haetz? We should make a special bracha. It's olive oil. It's really special. So the Gemara says, the reason why there's no special bracha, the first answer is because there's no bracha to be made. You can't say borei pri hazayit because it's meaningless. It is a zayit. It doesn't make any sense. When you say borei pri hagefen, what's gefen? What's the gefen?
It's a new product.
No, what's gefen? What is the word?
Vine.
It's the vine. You're saying borei pri hagefen. So it's true. It's a different, it's a kind of a different way of saying grape. But at least it's different, right? You're saying borei pri hagefen. But if you say borei pri hazayit, it doesn't make any sense. The zayit is the pri. So it's a nonsensical term. So the Gemara suggests, maybe I can't come up with something to say.
With that theory, you can say borei pri haetz on the shemen zayit.
Yafet. So the Gemara says even better. The Gemara says, v'nivrachale borei pri haetz zayit. Fine, so let's say borei pri haetz zayit. Say borei pri the zayit tree. That works. That's the same as saying borei pri hagefen. So the Gemara says, you're right. Okay, I back off. That's not the reason why we don't change the bracha. What's the reason we don't change the bracha? Ela amar Rav Zutra, chamra zayin. Mishcha, lo zayin. The simple. Well, wine fills you. It gives you sustenance. It causes you to have zan, right? Hazan etako. Chamra zayin. Rashi says, it gets its own bracha because it satiates you. Okay? Whereas shemen zayit doesn't do that. Shemen zayit doesn't fill you up in the same way. I don't know if we have anybody here who drinks Shemen Zayit and can confirm or deny this, but that's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, well, okay, but wait a second here. Vatnan. But wait a second. The Mishnah says, Hanoda min hamazon mutar b'mayim u'b'melech. A person, excuse me, who says, I will not partake of any mazon, he's allowed to still consume two things. Which two things, David, is he allowed to consume? Go ahead.
Mayim and melach?
Water and salt. Mayim and melach. Those are the two things. Now, if he can still consume water and salt, the implication is that everything else he cannot consume. And what did he do? He said, I'm not going to get any mazon. And all of a sudden, he can't eat anything, including, seemingly, shemen zayit, olive oil, which indicates that it is zan. So he says, so that seems to include shemen zayit. So it sounds like shemen zayit is zan. So it should get its own bracha. Name at the Abituv, the Rabbi Shmuel, the Amri Ein, Bavarch and Broim, and Ein Bizanot, Ela Bachamisha, Min and Bilvat. Vamravuna, Baomer Kol Azan Alai. Okay, so that's a separate question. We'll leave that aside for a second. Alma Mishcha Zayin. So wait a second. So it sounds like Shemin Zayit does cause sustenance. Ella, finally, we get to a different answer. Gemara says, Chamas Said, Umishcha Lo Said. What does that mean?
Wine satiates and oil does not.
Even more, you make a seuda. You make a meal. You make a meal out of wine. It's part of a meal. You eat it when you want to sit down and enjoy something significant. And that's not the job of a shemen zayit, which means the reason that wine gets a special bracha is because it's, you know, what is it the equivalent of? It's the liquid equivalent of bread. That's what it is. It's something that comes with a kriyut seuda. It has pride of place. It's a significant part. And shemen zayit simply doesn't.
Why can't I say this about any other food? If I'm a vegetarian and I sit down and eat a plate of vegetables, and that's all I eat is I have salads and kedome, why don't I have a special bracha perhaps for
I think the end of the Gemara is going to answer your question. So hang on to that question at the end of the Gemara. Says, but wait a second. Chamar misayid. Is it true that wine satiates and is part of a seuda? The harava have a shati chamar kol male yomi de pizka. Kehecha de negrari lelibe. V'necho matzatve. Rava had an interesting minhag. I wonder how many people have this minhag. Rava on Erev Pesach used to drink glass after glass of wine. On Erev Pesach. Why? So that when he got to the Seudah, he'd be nice and hungry for the matzah. Now, what does that indicate? What does wine do?
Wine does not fill you up.
Wine doesn't fill you up, because if it filled you up, that would be a terrible idea. It'd be full. Oh,
okay. I also wanted to say something else. Wine back then was a lot different than wine is back now. Apparently, back then it was thicker. You needed to add water to it. It did have different, I don't want to say functionalities per se, but there was no way it could actually, you know, it was a pretty potent thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of scholarship that's been actually written about that. I remember learning when I was younger that wine back then was stronger, but I saw a lot of articles that say it's not necessarily true. Don't want to get into it now, but the point stands over here. The Gemara is saying, wait a second, according to itself, the Gemara is saying internal logic. On the one hand, it says that wine satiates you and fills you up and is part of a good meal. On the other hand, it says that's apparently a snack that Rava used to use to kind of get himself into a good appetite for the Seuda on Pesach night. So which one is it?
All that proves is that Rava disagrees with the previous opinion.
Yeah, well, it's not a disagreement. It's a physical matter. Did it fill up Rava or not? Apparently, it didn't fill him up, because he wouldn't have done it if it filled him up. So the Gemara says, no, it depends how you drink it. It says, garir purta said. Sorry, where did I go? Nechal mata tfei. That's how it is. If you drink a lot, then it actually increases your appetite. If you drink a little, then it fills you up. I can't speak. I have no idea. But that's the Gemara's conclusion. It says the reason why Rabbi did it is because by drinking a lot, it actually makes you more hungry. But if you drink only a little bit, it actually fills you up. Okay? I can't speak one way or another. I don't know. But that's what the Gemara says. Getting back to the point now. So it says that's the reason why wine gets its own bracha. Because it fills you up and because it's part of a major part of the Seudah. So Gemara says, wait a second though. Well, Misayid Klal, is this even true at all? Does it really fill you up? Is it really part of a Seudah? V'aktiv v'yayin yisamach levavenosh, v'lechem levavenosh yisad. What's the thing that fills you up? Lechem. Wine just makes you happy. So, nahamahu desayid, chamer lo sayid. Bread is the thing that fills you up. Wine only makes you happy. So how do we explain this? No, rather the proper way to read the pasuk is that wine does double duty. It both makes you happy and fills you up. Bread only fills you up. It doesn't make you happy. Fine. So then the Gemara takes one last shot. It says, okay, fine. You've convinced me. Wine should get a different bracha. But if it should get a different bracha, then I don't understand. We should say Birkat HaMazon on it. It should get full pride, we should go all the way. It should get Birkat HaMazon at the end because it's a real Seuda. Lo kavi inchi Seudaitu ilave. No, people don't make an entire Seuda on wine. It's just a major part of a Seuda, but it's not an entire Seuda on wine. That this is where I think it comes in. Amalei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Rava, ikave ilave Seudata. My, what if you did make wine into an entire Seuda? He says, you know what? If Aliyahu comes and says that wine is capable of creating an entire Seuda, fine. But until then, you are batal etzel kol adam. We go according to the majority of the way that people eat and the way that people conduct themselves. And since the majority of people conduct themselves in this way by using only bread for a Seuda, that's going to be the thing that's Koveya Seudah. So you can't be Koveya Seudah Stam on anything else.
That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. So that's how the Gemara concludes. Okay. Now, let's talk about Bori Pirei Gafen. Okay? So if we, just step by step, what happened over here? The Gemara says that of all fruits, only Yayin becomes a Bori Pirei Gafen. Apparently everything else remains Bori Pirei Eitz. Let's assume for now that all liquid fruit juices are Bori Pirei Eitz. Just assume that. And only wine gets Bori Pirei Gafen. Okay, fine. Why? Ultimately, why is wine special? That it gets its Bori Pirei Gafen. Ultimately, at the end of the day.
And soda, sort of soda.
So you say
it's got a double function.
So is it because
Because we use it for sacrificial purposes and sacramental purposes.
Did that come up in the Gemara at all?
No, but that's what I was thought. You know, I'm just throwing that in.
But the Gemara we also use shemen during this sacramental purpose.
Yeah, I know. That's why I brought it up before. That's why I brought up Shemen Zayit when he was talking about it.
But we don't have that in the Gemara anyway. The Gemara only gives the following reasons. The first reason it gives is because it was changed and enhanced. Okay? The second reason it gave was that it is what was the exact term? Zayin. Because it actually has some nutritious value. The third reason, actually that was actually only to separate it from Shemen Zayin. The third reason is that it's Sa'id. It fills you up. It's a major part of a Su'udah. And that's the final reason that's given. Okay? All right. I want us to keep that in mind. Now.
So isn't the final reason of Samech at Alev? That's the only one that none of the others have.
It is the only one, but I don't think that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara only doesn't give that as a reason. It's finished by the time it gets to that.
Can I throw something else in? What about K kiddush, making a lagdish la mishu. Well, you'd use it under a chuppah. You use it for Shabbat. You use it for Yom Tov.
It's all great. You're totally right. Wine is used.
You don't do that for anything else. Maybe bread for lechem mishnah or matzah for
100%.
But like all the time, it's wine.
100%. But again, the Gemara doesn't say that. It doesn't mention it. I think you're totally right, Rashi. I'm not sure whether that's a symptom of it or a reason of it. It could be that it's a symptom of the fact that wine is more impressive, and that's why it gets a prayer brachah. It could be that it's all together. But I don't think you can make the case that we make a prayer brachah geffen because we use wine under the chuppah. It kind of doesn't. I have a feeling it doesn't work like that. I have a feeling it's more likely that we use wine under the chuppah because we make a prayer brachah geffen, something along those lines, if anything. Okay? So, let's keep going. So, if you take a look at Rashi in the Mishnah, okay? Rashi in the Mishnah, where it says, Chatz min ha-yayin, what would you expect to find over here? I would expect to find that he would say something about Sa'id or something like that. But Rashi only says, Shemitoch chashivuto kav'u lo bracha la'atzma v'chein hapat. Says because of its importance, okay, which is kind of vague. What does that mean, its importance? What does that mean? Kind of hard to understand what that means, its importance.
Maybe it's important because Rashi was a winemaker.
Maybe. He had a soft spot for it. Maybe. Where was it? Is there another one that I wanted to show you over here? No, I can't find it now. Okay, so let's jump into an issue over here. First of all, is wine pre? Is it still considered, is it grape juice, fermented grape juice, with an emphasis on the grape? Or is it something totally different now? Understand what I'm asking? Because this is going to be really important. And I wanted to start this as a building block before we even get into the bracha issue. Now, why do I bring this up? So Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz, the Re'eim, so he asks a question. He says, this quote in the Rush, how do we make Bari Pirei Geffen on wine? Halo mikri pri l'inyan bikurim. When it comes to bikurim, it's not called a pri. How do I know it's not called a pri when it comes to bikurim? Because the Breita in Perek Arotev, it says that you have to bring your fruit, your first fruits, when you're bringing bikurim, and you don't bring mashke. You don't bring juice. You cannot turn your fruit into juice. With two exceptions. One is grape juice, and one is shemen zayit. But those exceptions are exactly that. They're exceptions because the pasuk specifically allows you to bring those two things, which implies that grape juice, wine, and shemen zayit, olive oil, according to the Re'eim, are not liquid forms of a fruit. Because liquid forms of a fruit you're not allowed to bring. It's specifically wine and olive oil that you're allowed to bring as a gzeirat hakatuv because they're so special that they can also be brought as bikurim. Do you guys get what I'm saying or no? All right, let me make it a little bit clearer. Rashi specifically says something different. Rashi specifically says that you're not actually allowed to bring even wine or olive oil for bikurim if you have already turned it to wine or olive oil before getting to the Beit HaMikdash. Which means I, as a farmer, if I have a vineyard, I cannot take my grapes, turn them into wine, and then carry that to the Beit HaMikdash and offer that up as bikurim, according to Rashi. The only way I can bring wine is if I bring them to the Beit HaMikdash as grapes and then mash them up in front of the Kohen, and then give it to the Kohen as wine. That I can do. But they have to be brought to the Beit HaMikdash as grapes. Why? Because Rashi says that absolutely under no circumstances are grapes considered
a pri.
Sorry, is wine considered a pri, right? And the only reason you're allowed to bring wine at all is as a kederet gatuv. Whereas Rambam doesn't seem to say that. The Rambam says, "Ein bevin bikurim mashkin chutz mizeitim banamim bilvach nemar pri adama." The Rambam seems to say, and this is how he's understood by the Mefarshim. I know that it's not clear in the Rambam. He seems to say that no. Wine is brought as wine because it's considered, the Torah inserts it into being a pri. So according to the Rambam, it sounds like it remains a pri, whereas according to Rashi, it's not pri. Now this is going to be important later. Just keep it in your back pocket. Let me ask an important question. Okay? I'm asking this as a halachic question. What do you guys think? Let's say I was holding a cup of wine in my hand and I'm an Am Haaretz and I've never said Kiddush before and I've never been at a chuppah like Rashi was talking about. And frankly, I don't know anything. So you know what I do? I say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Borei Pri Haetz. And you're standing right next to me. And you see me take a drink from my cup. Do you tell me now to go back and say Borei Pri Haetz with a new bracha? Sorry, Borei Pri HaGefen with a new bracha or not? What do you say? You made a Borei Pri Haetz on wine. Do you have to go back and now make a Borei Pri HaGefen or are you okay?
Depends on the question you asked before. Whether it's still grapes, just in another form, or it's a new product.
Okay. Anybody else want to answer?
Yeah, I'd say you got to make a bracha again, because even if it was fruit juice, you would still wouldn't say Borei Pri Haetz, you'd say Shakol.
Okay. Okay. All right, so...
And I say, maybe it's the bracha closest to the real thing. In other words, yeah, as we said before, parshakol is like a catch-all. You know, get out of jail free card sort of bracha. Like, you're right, but it's b'diavad. But like Brei Eitz, it's not exactly, it's not the bullseye. It's the ring before the bullseye. The bullseye is HaGafen. So in other words, he's not 100% right, but he's not wrong.
Well, the question is whether or not Borei Pri Haetz is a catch-all for grape juice or wine or not, which is what Pinchas is bringing up. So let's take a look.
Could we have an analogy? Just as Borei Pri HaAdama is a catch-all for Borei Pri Haetz, right, therefore Borei Pri Haetz might be a catch-all to include Borei Pri HaGafen.
Right, that's what's an issue. It would seem that's what's an issue. And that's exactly how the Shalmei Nissan, that's of Nissen Kaplan in the Mir, that's exactly how he puts it in an essay in the Sefer. So, let's take a look at the Rishonim. So Tosot in Yud Bet, so he quotes Rabbein Chananya, who says, talking about a different topic, but connected to ours, Rabbein Chananya says, "Ima yoyodea bebirur sheta'abe diburo, sha'amar borei pri ha'etz, tachad borei pri ha'gafen, debetoch kedei dibor yachol lachzor bo." You could fix it, toch kedei dibor. What's the implication? That if you didn't fix it, Rabbi, if you didn't fix it,
then you can't.
You'd have to go back and say Borei Pri HaGefen, or you wouldn't have to go back and say Borei Pri HaGefen.
That you wouldn't. You can't fix it.
Oh, okay. That's not how Rabbi Akiva Eiger understands it. Simple. I think the simplest way of understanding is that he's saying that.
Probably right, and I'm fully wrong.
Is the simplest way of understanding, I think, is that you would want to fix it. So if you could fix it Tochadei Dibor, then great. But if you don't fix it Tochadei Dibor, you still have to fix it. You still have to go back and Borei Pri HaGefen. That would, I think, be the way to read it. Who disagrees? The Shita Mekubetzet, which over here apparently is really the Ritva, he says explicitly, he says, Perish Mishum Dishtani Leiluya Kovea Bracha La'atzmo, Yayin gets its own bracha, Ube Gemara Muchach, he says later on in the Gemara, it seems clear, the Imbiracha Yayin Borei Pri Haetz Yatza. The Ritva and the Shita Mekubetzet, he clearly says that if you make a Borei Pri Haetz on wine, you're Yotze, you're fine. It's not the best thing to do, but you're Yotze. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, he quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel that I mentioned before, Sha'amar Eitz Tachat Borei Pri HaGafen Mashma Mizeh Din Birech Ayayin Borei Pri Haetz Lo Yatza. He says, it sounds like you're not Yotze if you make a Borei Pri Haetz. That's what Rabbi Chananel says. V'tamoli, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, I don't understand. Why not? The Hayayin Shem Pri Alav. Because the wine, it's still a pri. The Hamavarchin Borei Pri HaGafen V'imkin Shaprim Bevarech Borei Pri Haetz. It's still a pri, so Borei Pri Haetz should be just as good. Not just as good, but nearly as good. Ella, ha'yalu levarer yoter shehu mehagefen. What do you learn from Rabbi Akiva Eiger? Levarer yoter. What is he saying?
you was always saying the most precise bracha that you can make.
That the only difference between Borei Pri HaGefen and Borei Pri HaEit is that Borei Pri HaGefen is more barur. It's more distinct. It's more specific to the wine. V'im kein, lo garem yibirach shahakol. It's at least, saying Borei Pri HaEit is at least no worse than saying shahakol, which everybody agrees you'd be yotzei. Everybody agrees if you make a shahakol on wine, with the avad you're yotzei. And he says, achareiza matzati, bezot Hashem, itbarach, b'tshuvat ginin vradim, I found finally an Achron who agrees, Sfardi Achron, who agrees that you're Yotze. Fine. Now, to get into this a little bit more, the Sheitim of Gubetz, again, I believe is the Ritva over here. So he points out, he says, if you say Shahakal on anything, you're always Yotze. He says explicitly over here. He says, if you make a Borei Pri HaEit on wine, you're Yotze. We know that if you make another bracha, aval, an exception, bepat, with bread, afshar lomar, the kevan shehakatuv kavalo shem bifnei atzmo, dechtiv asher lo b'miskinot tochavo lechem, lo nafik kishabirach alea Borei Pri Adama. At first, it's hard to understand this ritva. He says, since the Torah itself gives the name of lechem, therefore, you cannot, what other bracha could you make instead of making Hamotzi lechem min haaretz? What bracha would you expect to be able to make?
Adama.
Borei Pri Adama, right? On the chita. So the ritva says, maybe you cannot make a Borei Pri Adama. You could still make a shahakol, but you can't make a Borei Pri Adama. Why can't you make a Borei Pri Adama? Because the Torah specifically called this lechem. Now, this is a little bit strange to hear because the Torah also specifically calls gefen and yayin, right? We have those terms. But he says, oh, the birchata kavud l'arbanan, hotzi'ua miklal pri. Kalamai she'enu mazkir b'birchato, pri shuv enu yotze b'avalashon pri. He says, no, the reason is because once the rabbis say that you're supposed to make a motzi lechem min ha'aretz, there's no pri anymore. There's not motzi pri lechem or pri chita. It's lechem. The bracha for this food is lechem. It must be lechem. It can't be anything else. Avav shahakol. He agrees. Shahakol, I'll let you do. Shahakol yotze b'kulub neshuhu kol el hakol v'chein eikar. Because it includes everything. It's not anything specific about a pri. But you can't make a borei pri hadama on lechem because it's a totally different word over there. Fine. Okay. So it's clear there's a machloket rishonim about whether or not you make a borei pri, if you make a borei pri eitz, whether you yotze on wine. Now, what's the basis of this machloket? So first I want to show you what Rav Nissen Kaplan points out. So he points out that as we saw before, Rashi in the Mishnah says, Ketzim mavarchin chutz min hayayin shebitoch hashivuto kavu lo bracha la'atzmo b'chein hapat. Okay, Rashi says that ultimately the reason why Borei Pri HaGefen is applied to wine is because of its chashivut. What's its chashivut? Minastam, Rashi is quoting the end of the Gemara. Because it is sa'id, it takes a pride of place at a meal. It is a main part of the meal, it provides sustenance. It's sa'id, okay? What does Rashi not mention? He doesn't mention the fact that you changed it when you made it into wine, right? No mention is made of that you enhanced it. Okay, it's simply the fact that it's special. And he even says, v'chein hapat. He even compares wine to
bread.
To bread. Okay? On the other hand, Rabbeinu Yonah, who, spoiler alert, Rabbeinu Yonah agrees with the Ritva that if you say Borei Pri HaEit, you yotze. Okay? Rabbeinu Yonah says, ubitmarim, afepishem mazon, points out that tmarim are also mazon.
Where?
Right here.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Afepishem mazon. Kevan de lokfi alayu, velo nishtanu, kamosh nishtanim hanavim, kishnasu yayin, enam kovim bracha latzma. Which means the Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Ritva, by the way, does the same thing. Even at the end of the Gemara, he assumes that the reason why we make Borei Pri HaGefen is not only because it's sa'id, not only because we're koveya, but also because it's been enhanced. It's both. almost in the sense that the fact that it's an enhanced is the reason why we're Koveya. Rav Kaplan, Rav Nissen Kaplan says this could be the basis of the Machlokas. If you assume, like, let's start with the second one, like Ravina Yonah, that ultimately the reason why you have a Bori Pri Gef and you have a special bracha for wine is because it's been enhanced and now it's Koveya Seuda, then really the special bracha, is it because wine is fundamentally different than grapes? No, it's not. It's simply that wine is a special version of grapes. It's grapes that have been enhanced. And therefore, you can just as well make a Bori Pri Eitz, because ultimately we recognize the fact that these grapes are that this wine is still grape. It's grape juice. The wine is grape juice. It's, or I should say, it's grape juice. Okay? I recognize the grapes in the wine. It's just grapes that have been enhanced. So I can still make a Bori Pri Eitz. But Rashi may be saying something different. Rashi is saying, no. Wine gets a special bracha because wine is special. And we've actually forgotten completely that it was ever a grape. It's now a new food. It's a new food group. It's such a new food group that we compare it to bread. It's no longer grape juice. It's just super juice. It's not even important that it's been enhanced. It's not ishtani. Rashi ignores the fact that it's grapes that have been changed. It's not even grapes anymore. I don't even look at it as grapes. All I care about is the fact that it's Sa'id. In which case, why can't I make a Bori Pri Eitz on it anymore? According to Rabbi Hanano and Rashi, perhaps, because it's no longer seen as coming from an Eitz, the same way that bread is not seen as coming from the ground. Even though I know it says Motzei Lechem in Haaretz, but still it's called Lechem. But Rabbi, I see a quizzical look on your face.
Yeah, against Rashi, we have an example of something else that is not special, and is not Koveya Seuda in the technical halachic sense of it, but because its form is changed, we change its bracha. And that is Berei Menei Mezonot.
Ah. Shkoyach. Okay, we're going to jump back to that. Now, I want to move and get to Rabbi's point. I want to move from the Mir, from Nissim Kaplan, over to YU, Yeshiva University, to Rabbi Yaakov Neuberger.
Nissim Kaplan. Yeah.
So he says, Rabbi Neuberger, who goes through a lot of the same analysis, everybody points out the same thing, that it all depends on whether you see wine as being still connected to grapes or whether you see it as being something totally new. So his conclusion over here is, if we made a new bracha, what we're making the bracha on is actually the fact that there's a special aspect to this original object which allows you to take something, make something new from it. Ubalashon Rashi, lo kavu lavarech al yayin shalea, you can't say bore hayayin because Hashem didn't make yayin. We made the yayin. Aval kein mevarchin al koach hatamun b'toch hapri. We can make a bracha on something that was inherent, latent in the pri. V'koach zeni rabbi adabore. Hashem made the potential for wine. Val zechal halashon bore. That's what we mean when we say bore. When we say Borech Pri HaGefen, what are we actually saying? We're saying, thank you Hashem for making not the grapes, but the thing that made the grapes. Okay, he makes that point elsewhere. So what's he saying over here? So Chazal made a bracha on kochot shonot babriya. Koach shemitchadesh b'kol shana v'shana. Umidach koach sheyesha b'kibud babriya. Okay, the point is over here that the bracha that we're making, a Bori Pri HaGefen, isn't on the grape. We're not making a bracha on grape. What bracha are we making? What bracha are we making here? Rabbi, on what are we making the bracha? According to Rashi?
According to Rashi, according to this?
According to Rashi.
According to the potential of the grapes to become wine.
Exactly. In which case, what are we making?
Even more than that, it's on our potential, on our ability to turn the grape into wine.
Right? Yes. And then ultimately, the bracha is not on the grapes, it's on the wine. And on thanking Hashem for giving us the ability to make wine. Borei pri hagefen. We're looking at this cup of wine and we're saying, thank you, Hashem, for giving us the potential to make this wonderful drink. In which case, borei pri ha'etz would be completely insufficient. It's a non sequitur. It has nothing to do with what we're supposed to be saying right now. I'm holding a cup of wine in my hand. I need to make a borei pri hagefen. It's not good enough to make a borei pri ha'etz. It's totally irrelevant.
If you're so excited about God giving us the potential for us to make the wine, why do we say Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz? He's the one who took the bread out of the ground. It's exactly the opposite.
I mean, we have to acknowledge that the point over there, I think, is that we're acknowledging that ultimately he's behind all of that. The same way that we say Borei Pri HaGafen, what we're really acknowledging is, you know, Hashem gave us the potential to do this, so we're saying the same thing about Motzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Now, the reason I wanted to point this out is Rabbi, in the footnote, he says, it's mashma in the Divrei HaTorah that when Chazal say that borei mimenei mizonot al masek deira, on what do you make a borei mimenei mizonot?
Grains that you have transformed into
exactly right, and you don't make a borei on the same thing that you could have made a borei pri adama, right? Something you should have made a borei pri adama. Hu adin mishum kol choshel lechem misod benosaf shem yishiva minim shenishtabcha behem eretz Yisrael, on any of the shiva minim that you use in order to make these special kinds of foods. Right? The Torah says this. The Torah says that on a Masa Kedera, you say a Borei Mei Mizonot because you're able to, this is Kocho Shalechem. That's the language of the Torah. Kocho Shalechem Misod Benosaf. Shehem Yishiv Aminim. All right? So we're making a special bracha on these foods that is not the same as Borei Pri Ha'etz. It's not the same at all. Or Borei Pri Ha'adama. We're making a bracha on something that Hashem, you know, implanted in the bria. If you're just eating an apple, then you're not eating potential. You're eating product, right? But if you're eating grape juice, or actually I should say wine, because grape juice isn't really, you know, we should wonder why you would make a bracha on grape juice. Grape pri hagefen, I guess that would be a separate question because we haven't done anything really. All you've just done is crushed it up. But when you're eating lechem or you're eating wine, are you eating, a cake? So there, you're recognizing that Hashem gave this tremendous power in the bria, not just the food, but the ability for it to change, which would be a fundamentally different bracha. Okay, halacha l'maisa. No, halacha l'maisa. So Shulchan Aruch just says, Shulchan Aruch doesn't deal with this question. Shulchan Aruch just says, Shataya inu birach bari pri agafin v'achal anavim, tzarech levarach aleim bari pri ha'etz. This is a separate point. The Shulchan Aruch is just saying that if you drink wine and then you also want to have grapes, you must make a borei pri ha'etz on the grapes. Also, by the way, if you have wine and you have grapes, so in your bracha achrona, when you say bracha mein shalosh, so instead of al ha'mechia, you say al ha'etz and you say al pri ha'etz. Okay? Or whatever it is that we say, that's what you would say. But the Magen Avraham comments, okay, Rav Avram Gombiner, he says, Shata yayin, ta'a ubirech ala yayin bar pi ha'etz. What is the halacha? Sarich lachzor levarech bar pi ha'gefen. So the Magen Avraham says, you have to go back and make the bracha. And even wine, hard wine, strong wine, yayin chazak, which you might have thought is, you know, it's a little bit different. You might have thought that it's really, the grapes are so strong in it. You might have thought maybe the reason why borei pri ha'etz doesn't cut it is because there's water in the wine. It says, no, that has nothing to do with it. It's just fundamentally different. Who backs him up? The Yad Ephraim over here as well. He also says this. And he says, he quotes several svarim. And he says, the reason is, you can't put it back. The Klashar parents. Once they made a new bracha, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. You can't go back and make a Borei Pri Ha'etz. It's Mishana Matbea. Might be a different explanation. That might be a different idea. Fine. However, who's on the other side? A lot of people. The Chai Adam, Ravram Danziger, so he says, he thinks that you can be Yotze. What about the Mishnah Berurah? Okay, Posek Ha'achron. The Mishnah Berurah says, over here, down here, Im birach al yayin bar pi ha'eitz, yesh deot ben ha'poskin, v'yesh omrim diyatza v'diyavet, v'yesh omrim delo yatza, v'safek brachot, rachel. Boring ending. What's the reason why we don't make a new bracha? Mishnah Berurah acknowledges that there are tzadim to say it, tzadim not to say it. Ultimately, we don't say it. Because safek brachot rachel. Now this safek brachot rachel is a very dangerous one. Because the truth is, I actually agree with him. But you have to realize that this was a massive machloket about whether or not you can say safek bracha lahakel about a bracha rishona when you want to eat. If I've got a piece of food in front of me, and I'm not sure if I should make a bracha or not, so I have two options in front of me. One is I make a bracha and I eat. Actually, I have three options. One is I make a bracha and I eat. Two is I don't make a bracha and I eat anyways. And three is I don't make a bracha and I don't eat. Okay? Now, many shitot say the third one is the right one. You can't make a bracha and you can't eat. And we don't see safek bracha lahakel because safek bracha lahakel is what you say when you have a bracha tamitzvah that you're not sure if you should say it or not. It's not a way of getting out of making a bracha. You'd be stealing if you didn't make a bracha. But I think that's not the mainstream psak. The mainstream psak is that a person, if they're not sure if they should make a bracha, they don't make a bracha and they eat. That, I believe, is the mainstream psak. That's what Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach writes. And I think that's the general position. I put over here just the Shari Tzion, who goes through a lot of what we went through with all the Rishonim. So at the end of the day, it seems to be that the Mishnah Berurah says, and I think it's safe to rely on the Mishnah Berurah, that if you find yourself saying Bari Priya Eitz on a glass of wine, the proper thing to do is just continue drinking and you don't have anything to worry about. All right, I'm sorry it took so long. I see that it's already 10:10, but thank you very much for sticking around. Bezrat Hashem, next time we'll continue. Shkoyach.